This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
The mayor of Decatur joins us, Mayor Julie Moore Wolf. Hey, what do you know? I understand that Abby from the Children's Museum is going to be at the city council meeting on Monday. Is there something the city can do to help the Children's Museum because of some of the requirements, from what I understand about getting assistance, you know, requires you to have like a lecture hall and fixed seating, you know, things that museums might have, but probably children's museums don't have. Do you know anything about this?
You know, I really don't. I mean, the are you talking about she's looking for some financial help or some
yes.
meeting space? Or okay.
No. The under the American Rescue Plan, you know, there are ways that you could, you know, they had to shut their doors for 13 months. I mean, they weren't allowed to open at all. Whereas, like, the zoo right across the way, you know, had outdoor space and could do a lot. And I think what basically she's met with some of the folks with the city of Decatur. I think she met with John John Kenseth, and I think she's going to be at the council meeting on Monday. I just think, man, if this is such a treasure in our community, and you know, we're trying to help everyone we can, this would certainly be worth talking about.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the city doesn't really have financing for that kind of thing. It would maybe fall better under the auspices of the Post District. And, you know, they have also suffered as far as not being able to have. And, Brian, it's not just not having your doors open. It's none of these organizations could have events. So, and many of them, they're fundraising. I mean, you look at the Arts Council, all of these entities that, you know, rely on having fundraising events throughout the year, they lost a year of money. And many of them, and I mean, the Children's Museum was one of them that cut back on staff and everything else, but tried to keep the, you know, the wheels turning, because you're right, it is a huge treasure and an asset to this community.
Okay, and maybe I'm way off, but from what I understand, the Park District doesn't have these dollars. The city got these dollars under the American Rescue Plan.
Right, and I'm going to have to see what she's asking, and I'm not familiar with specifically what she wants. But the city also, you know, we're really taking a hard look at how we are able to use our finances as well. I mean, we're much of the first tranche of money was very, very specific, like so specific initially that we couldn't even use most of it. But those were lessened somewhat. But, you know, we had a bunch of expenses as well. So there's a lot to look at.
Okay, listen, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just saying, you know, if she shows up Monday night, well, come on, you can think on your feet. You've been in this business a while. And then also, I was unaware that there was a national news story that included Decatur about some of this rent assistance money. What is there anything you can tell me about that? I don't know that it was spotlighting Decatur as being bad. It was just sort of saying some of the problems maybe with this program and what it takes people to get qualified and how we disperse these funds. Do you know anything about that?
You know what? I'm not even sure which entity it was. And Decatur pops up every once in a while because we're a Midwestern city that was, you know, a manufacturing giant that we've gone through some tough times. So we seem to always kind of be on the spotlight for things. But we initially on rent assistance and that sort of thing really worked with some local organizations that already had ways to vet people set up. Because one of the problems is, Brian, where with rent assistance is that you really have to show that you can't pay your bills because it's COVID-related. Once there was a moratorium on evictions, people who were not impacted by COVID weren't paying the bills. And so that's a big problem. We ran into that with water shutoffs. We had a moratorium on shutting off water for most of the lockdown and the pandemic. But realistically, there were people who were just using their money for other things. And so we will help people get caught up. But, you know, landlords have been kind of stuck because they haven't been getting their rent. And the rent assistance was designed to help everybody. But, you know, it needed to be COVID-related. And there are always going to be people who, you know, skirt the system. But that's where we're going to run into some real problems, because at some point that rent is going to be due. And if they couldn't get it through one of the agencies because it was COVID-related and they just spent their money, that's where we're going to see some big problems.
All right. It will be interesting, I am sure, because federal guidelines, state guidelines, you know, local, there's a lot of stuff attached to all of this. But I just remember when it was being announced that you had all of this money to help people. And then, you know, basically the story, I don't remember if it was the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal, basically pointed out you haven't spent hardly any of that money.
Yeah, and there is money that is still sitting there. So if people need assistance, they can call the city and we can direct you to the right agency. But yeah, a lot of the money is still sitting there, and it's due largely to either people not accessing it, maybe not knowing. However, we've got a really good social services network here. You know, I point to the United Way as really being a clearinghouse for help, whether it's food assistance or rent assistance,
yeah,
et cetera.
Listen, they got with the landlords and they got with private donors and they took care of a lot of this community. I mean, they
absolutely did.
And cut a lot of the red tape out of it. I think this was more maybe the money that was going to Dove and the other agencies that you guys are working with. It would just be nice to get an update on that if we could. All right, let's talk about two deaths, a male in his 80s, a female in her 70s, 29 cases yesterday. What does this mean as Governor Pritzker is talking about the bridge phase and reopening all of Illinois? Where do we sit here in Region 6, and how does all that stack up?
Well, unfortunately, we are, I don't want to call it a big spike, but I was talking to my counterpart in Springfield yesterday, and St. John's had like 21 people hospitalized with COVID. That's the highest number they've had in like a one-day total since this second round of kind of a somewhat of a spike has occurred. We've got, I think, maybe a dozen people between the two Decatur hospitals hospitalized. Only not quite as far as the numbers that I've seen, the latest numbers. We don't quite have 30% of our population vaccinated. Now, our older population is pretty well taken care of, but we're not doing all that well with the 40-year-olds and the 30-year-olds. We need to get them vaccinated because, Brian, here's the deal. We're going to be living with COVID. We're going to be living with COVID like we live with cancer, like we live with the flu. We've got to do everything we can to keep it from spreading and happening to people. But that's going to start with vaccinations. Now, other communities are doing much better than us. If you look at us, we're probably somewhere in the middle of the state. We're not doing as well as many of the suburbs in Chicago. And I don't know if that's a higher education, level population predominantly. But some of our southern Illinois counties are doing really well, too, as far as getting people vaccinated. So it's a real, it's kind of a strange phenomenon why we are seeing so much pushback here to vaccines.
Yeah, and it's not an easy answer. There's a lot of pockets. I think the good news is that there's a small percentage of Americans that are anti-vax, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, meaning any vaccine. That's a small number of people.
Very
what
small.
We have mm-hmm. are pockets of people who have concern or not enough information, or they think they're young and it doesn't really impact them, or they're worried about maybe they're going into their child bearing years, or they're wanting to have kids. And so you've got these pockets of questions. And we're working on that, and hopefully we can get that answered and get people more comfortable. And I think as time goes by, more and more people will do that. I'm constantly surprised. Mayor, I have these conversations in my personal life, with friends or acquaintances or coworkers, and I find out they were hesitant and kind of reluctantly went and got it. And they tell me this story, and I'm like, what's wrong? Why would you not be lined up to do this?
You know, Brian, I've had the same experience, and, I can understand if you're in childbearing years, you're very concerned about that because you go straight to the worst case scenario and you want to protect your ability to have children. But our OBGYN physicians are very, very confident that this is a much better, you're much safer to have this vaccine and not get COVID than to get COVID and not be able to carry the baby or something like that. And I'm, obviously not a clinician. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a doctor, but I really trust these experts and they have a solid belief. And trust me, they care about their patients. They are not going to steer their patients into something that is, more harmful to them. And I know it's a new vaccine, but it's based on years of study. And we have so much more technology now to be able to vet things than we did, say, in the 60s when they were coming out with the polio vaccine. So I think this is a much safer thing than most people think that are hesitant. But I tell you, I have conversations too with people, and I'm so surprised that some of these people who I would consider to be highly educated and informed who are just, I'm good, I don't need it. And I'm thinking, you really do. And Karen Eisert had a story on last night about a guy from Taylorville who was a healthy, I think he's 59, he's an outdoors guy and very active, and he got sick fast. He's a long hauler. He's He's not really, he's on oxygen still. He doesn't know if he'll be on it for the rest of his life. He still can't do the things he wants to do, like take care of his pool. And so it is here. We have to live with this virus, and we're going to be living with it for a long, long time. We've got to be able to combat it as best we can, and that starts with vaccines.
Mayor, have a great weekend, and we'll check in with you Monday morning. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.